because you just might get it. We have lots of things we wish for that we love to have, but sometimes you have to be careful because you just might get it. King Midas, he wished that everything he would touch would turn to gold, which sounds great, doesn't it? Except he forgot that when he would touch his food, it would turn into gold. And when he touched his daughter, she turned into gold. Or how about Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, right? What did everyone wish for? A golden ticket. How great it would to be get one of those 5 golden tickets. But if you know the story, if you've read the book, my 4th grade teacher read it to us. It's a great story. Or if you've seen the movie, you know that it didn't quite turn out the best for all of those who got the golden ticket. Be careful what you wish for. You just might get it. How about the movie Bruce Almighty? All right, Bruce Almighty, who thinks he could do a better job than God. So you know what? God turns it over to him, and he becomes God. And I love the scene where he decides that he's going to answer everyone's prayers. And everyone gets to win the lottery, which he thinks will be great until he discovers that everyone is really ticked off, because if you buy a lottery ticket, do you really want to win 11 bucks? No. Be careful what you wish for. Or we like to say the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, but sometimes when you do that, you get caught in the barbed wire. Okay? Be careful what you wish for. That's at the heart of this passage from the prophet Amos. Amos lived 2,750 years ago. And a lot of people today don't know much about the prophets. Amos lived at a time when David's kingdom had been divided into it. It split. There'd been a civil war. He was from the southern kingdom of Judah, but he was called to be a prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel. And Amos is one of the prophets we call the minor prophets. There are 3 major prophets in our Bible. There's Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah. Major not because they're better, it's just because their books are longer. And 12 minor prophets, not because they're inferior, they just have shorter books. Amos is one of the minor prophets, one of the most famous. And as I said, the book of Amos is my favorite book in the Old Testament. I think it's one of the most powerful books in the Old Testament. Amos was not a professional prophet. He didn't do this to make a living. He tells another prophet who's yelling at him to go away that he's not in this for the money. He says, I was a shepherd. I took care of sycamore trees, but the Lord called me and made me his prophet. And there's a powerful verse in chapter 3 of Amos where he says, the lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? And Amos was called to be a prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel at a very specific time in history when very specific things were going on. And what's going on is that the people of Israel, he's a lion, you're right, I guess I better prophesy. The people of northern Israel, they thought they were special. Now, that never happens today, does it? The people of Israel, they thought they were special. They thought they were wonderful. They were the ancient equivalent to little Jack Horner. What does little Jack Horner do? He sticks in his thumb and pulls out a plum and says, what? What a good boy am I. The people of Israel thought they were so good and great and wonderful. And why did they think that? Because life was really good for them. The economy was strong. Lots of people were making money. Lots of people were living the good life. And they thought that that meant that God approved of everything they did. God was giving them a heavenly thumbs up for being such wonderful, great people. And then comes Amos, who rains on their parade, who says, wrong. Because Amos does not come to tell them how great and wonderful they are. He comes to point out their terrible, horrible sins. And chief among all those sins, Amos points out, is the fact that those who were doing well, the wealthy, the merchants, they were doing well at the expense of the poor and the weak and the powerless. Here's what Amos says. Hear this, you who trample on the needy, and bring to ruin the poor of the land. He says to them, these people, they go to worship. They worship the Lord, but the whole time they're in worship, they can't wait for worship to be over. Why? So they can open up their business and they can make the ephah small and the shekel great. And we go, what? The what? Here's what that means. In Bible times, there was a unit of measurement called an ephah, like a bushel, okay? These merchants would have, when you would come, this was before money was invented. People used bits of silver and gold. And you would come and you would measure out your grain. So you would come and say, I want a one ephah bucket of wheat. Except you know what? The merchant's ephah bucket wasn't an ephah. It was 8/10 of an ephah. So you weren't getting as much as you paid for. And then they would weigh out their silver and they would have little weights called shekel weights. Shekel was a unit of weight. But the 1 ounce shekel weight, you know what? It weighed 1.2 ounces. So what's going on in this story? The merchants of Israel are cheating their customers. They're charging them too much, and they're not giving them enough. And besides that, they're not just selling wheat. They're throwing all the chaff and the junk and the dirt in there as well. And they pat themselves on the back because they're such clever people who are so good at business. Amos doesn't just decry the merchants. He has it in for their wives as well. He calls the merchant's wife cows of Bashan. Bashan's a part of Israel, northern Israel, where they raise cattle. And I know it's not politically correct to call women cows, but Amos, he didn't care. He was making a point. Cows because they were fat and they were living off of others. And he decries these women who love to lie on couches of ivory with music playing. As Amos says, who oppress the poor, who crush the needy, who say to their husbands, bring that we may eat. He doesn't have anything good to say about those women. In fact, this is what Amos says about the people in his country who are in power. They do not know how to do right. They store up violence and robbery in their strongholds. These people are sinful. And here's that image of the plumb line. Because Amos says the Lord is using his plumb line. A plumb line, a weight on a string that measures something to see if it's straight. And Amos says the Lord has measured his people with his plumb line. And you know what? They are crooked. They are out of straight. They need to be destroyed. And here is this awful word of judgment that Amos decries. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob. And who's the pride of Jacob? The Lord himself. God swears by himself. Surely I will never forget any of their deeds. So while the people of Israel think they're so great, God has another message for them. And you know what? Ignorance is not always bliss, is it? Because if there's something coming and you don't see it, it's not going to be pretty, will it? And that brings us to our text here. Because, see, the people of Israel, in their ignorance, could not wait for this thing they called the Day of the Lord. Because they were looking back at their history. They looked back to Moses and the Red Sea. And what did God do at the Red Sea? He parted the water so the people of Israel could cross. And then when Pharaoh's army entered into the Red Sea, God brought the water back and drowned Pharaoh. And the people of Israel thought, this day of the Lord would be the day in which God would destroy all their enemies because they were so good and righteous and holy. They could not wait for the day of the Lord. If you watched How I Met Your Mother and you know all about Barney, they thought this day would be legendary. But once again, God says, I don't think so. I don't think so. And the prophet Amos says these words to the people of Israel. Alas for you who desire the day of the Lord. Why do you want the day of the Lord? Amos says, be careful what you wish for, because you just might get it. And what is the day of the Lord going to really be like? Well, here are the powerful images Amos uses. The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. And then here's how he describes it. He says, the day of the Lord for you, Israel, it'll be as though you run into a lion who's trying to eat you. And you run away from the lion, and what do you run into? A bear who's trying to eat you. And you run away from the bear and you get in your house and you slam the door and you put your hand on the wall and go, I made it. And what happens? A poisonous snake bites you and you die. Not a real pretty picture, is it, huh? God says there's no escape. There's no escape from the day of the Lord. Is not the day of the Lord darkness, not light and gloom, with no brightness in it? And Amos's words were true. Because within one generation, the northern kingdom of Israel was destroyed. It was wiped off the face of the earth. It would never rise again. And the poor suffered along with the rich. Now, in the midst of this, the people thought they were doing a really good job because they worshiped the Lord. And Amos has a word to say about that, too. He says, the Lord says, I despise your festivals. I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. They had really great worship services, and they thought they were doing a wonderful job, but God says, you know what? Your heart's not in it. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. They thought if they just went through the motions of offering God burned animals as sacrifices, God would be happy with it. But God's not. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. Sorry, Aaron. Sorry, men's group. Okay? As pretty as our music sounds, if our heart's not in it, behind it, God doesn't care. What does God want from his people? Well, not fancy worship services, not offerings, not music, but this. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. What does God want of his people? He wants justice and he wants righteousness. He wants us to be on the same page as God. And when we hear that verse, let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, we who live in the Midwest of the United States, that's what we think about. You know, la ta da 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 da, that beautiful idyllic scene of the little creek running down. That's not what the prophet has in mind. Because this is what the land looks like in Israel. You see those mountains? Those huge mountains? They are dry most of the year. But when the rain comes, something happens. Torrents of water come pouring down. This is what the prophet says. I want righteousness to flow down like waters, or justice to flow down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing torrent that overwhelms everything in its path. That's what God wants. You see, the prophet reminds the people of Israel, it's not about you. But Israel never got that. They always thought it was about them because they were God's chosen people. They thought God was lucky to have them. But Amos reminds them, as did all the prophets of the Old Testament, that it is about God. It is about God's holiness. And God demands that his people have that kind of holiness. What does the prophet Amos say we need to do? It's very, very simple. We need to hate evil and we need to love good. God doesn't care about the fancy worship services. God wants us to hate evil and love good. That's how you live in relationship with God. And that's the lesson the people of Israel never learned. So let's move it up 2,750 years and talk about us. Because today, it is very easy for us to think that we are little Jack Horner, pulling in our thumb, pulling out a plum and saying, what a good boy am I. Because there's an important thing we need to remember, and that's that people have not changed in 2,750 years. And we can be just like those people in ancient Israel. Because it is still easy for us to say, I'm smarter than you, to think we are just more brilliant than everyone else, and to look down upon them. It is still easy for us to say, I know better than you. Do you know someone whose opinion is always right? Okay? They just have it when no one else does. Are you sometimes that person? Are we like that? We need to be careful. You may have noticed we had an election recently. Did you notice that? Okay? And it is so easy in our country, and in any country, to say, if you elect the other guy, the nation is doomed. How could you be so stupid as to vote for the other party? We can be like that, have that mindset. We can have that holier-than-thou attitude which the people of Israel had, which led to their destruction, because we focus on what I deserve, what God owes me, what is my right thing to have in life. And when we're like that, the prophet says, be careful what you wish for, because you just might get it. And it's at times like that when we have to be so thankful for God's grace and God's mercy. I love this saying, that grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve, and mercy is when God gives us what we do deserve. Because God calls us to focus not on ourselves and how great we are. He calls us to focus on the cross of Jesus Christ, on the sacrifice that Jesus made for you and for me, on the sacrifice of Jesus, the one who really showed us what it's like to hate evil and love good. We heard today the gospel story of those bridesmaids, the wise bridesmaids and the foolish bridesmaids. Another one of those little picture stories Jesus tells about being ready for when he comes back. What did the five wise ones do? They were prepared. They brought extra oil with them. They properly understood the situation. They knew that the wedding celebration is not about them. It's about the bridegroom. And they needed to be ready when the bridegroom came. Jesus reminds us that he is the bridegroom. We are all the bridesmaids. We do not know when Christ will return. We say every week in our creed, he will come again. But none of us knows when that day will be. So we need to live so that we are prepared. We are prepared for that day of the Lord when it comes. Israel had its priorities all messed up. We can't. So what does that mean for you and me? Here's the practical part to take home from today's message. It's this. Justice and righteousness need to flow from every one of us. Not a trickle, not a drip, but justice and righteousness need to flow, gush from each one of us. That God wants our hearts in worship. Now, Amos does not say that God hates worship. God loves worship, but he loves worship when our hearts are behind the festivities, when our hearts are behind the offerings, when our hearts are behind the music, and our worship says to the Lord, I love you. And this one, especially this one, God wants you and me to hate evil and love good. Not avoid evil, but hate evil. And not just to think good's nice, but to love good. And if, you know, four words, hate evil, love good. When we get that in our hearts and our minds, that makes an enormous difference. And let me just close with this last word of Amos that Amos says again and again, the word of the Lord to his people, seek me and live. Seek me and live. What do you wish for in your life? May it be this, that we seek the Lord and live, that we know his way is true, and we live not for ourselves, but for him, now and always.